Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Look what I got. And that's after going around the neighbors and giving them tomatoes because the bowl was almost full, filled with tomatoes. Today, I did my first harvest of tomato. I think it might be my biggest, but there are some left in the greenhouse. Infinite amounts of tomatoes. Some of them are more like black, but they're ripe. They may look like they're a little green, but that's their actual color. They are ready to eat. And then I have my dwarf tomato plants that give these very round ones. I have my cherry tomato plants that give these more pear-shaped. And then I have these yellow pear. There's going to be plenty of tomatoes to make recipes with. Fractalman says, how do you tell if those green ones are ripe? Feel? The feel is one clue, but I just know this species of tomato, and you just know they are very green when they're green, and then they turn this kind of half-red aspect to it, and they're ready. Real Base Talk says, Jeff, you should dehydrate and make sun-dried tomatoes. I would be willing to do this, but I'm sure one needs a specific equipment for this. I'm pretty sure the tomatoes would be attacked by mosquitoes if I just put them outside, so I guess I would need something like a screen and then some ventilation material. I've never done sun-dried tomatoes, and I'm not headed toward doing it, because even inside, I'm afraid that there would be flies coming to this, so I would need to be really well equipped. Fractalman says, oh, didn't know that. Well, I mean, yeah, the number of types of tomatoes you can get is almost infinite. There are thousands and thousands, so if you know your seeds and you know what they look like when they're ripe, it should be very easy to determine when they're ready. Barnaby Bruto says, yes, you need a dehydrator, ideally. I don't think it would be difficult to make one yourself. Controlled temperature and a fan for ventilation. Ah, well, I didn't know it was made in a dehydrator. Mama JF has a dehydrator. Maybe we could use it. But I'm always hesitant at using it because I'm pretty sure the cost of electricity is high. I'm pretty sure this dehydrator must be pumping a lot of power. And I'm like, for a tomato, is it really worth it to spend dollars and dollars on drying it? I'm very hesitant at processing steps that increase the price of the product. I'm like, I got free tomatoes here with just a little bit of work at the beginning of the summer. And of course, the work that I've put into building and planting. That's feasible economically. I'm not sure it's worth it for me to dehydrate small batches. Real Base Talk says, I had a dehydrator for wild mushrooms already anyway, but you can use for many things like basil and oregano too. Oh, perhaps it would be a nice way to preserve a lot of herbs, I guess. Max temperature on mine is like 70 degrees Celsius for plants. I don't think you would need to go higher than 40, 45, and it's a small appliance. All right. Paul Dirac says, I have a decent harvest of lettuce and tomatoes in my kitchen window. Hydro garden. I know JF hates on non-soil gardens, but it works really well. Okay, well, I hate on... I don't hate on non-soil garden. It's just I'm not going to do this because I'm not going to use space in the home for this. I don't think it's very productive, especially since I got so much space outside the home. We have a big land, but we don't have much space in the home, so it's very easy to be attracted by the outside. I'm feeling so good today because I was in contact. I don't want to reveal too much about this because I don't want people to be developing too much hope. But I'm in contact with an artistic producer who is very interested in making something about the revolutionary phenotype, a fiction series or maybe a short. And I know that this is a man who has the means to do it, in a high quality. And I wrote a first episode of how I see a fiction thing going, and he loves it. I was super happy that he quickly reviewed it today, and he is moved. And that is what I meant when I wrote this script. I wanted it to be hyper emotional. I don't want to annoy people with the scientific detail. I want it to be a human story. And I think I stroke him at the heart, in his heart. And I think it is a very moving story that I've written. Now, the reason I don't like talking about this is I don't know when this is going to be realizable. It could be 20 years from now. But the fact that we have this artistic understanding of how touchy it can be and how TRP ultimately can be a very, very good Hollywood-style movie or series, I think that's great. I just feel great about it. Fractal Man says maybe the Weinsteins will watch it. Yeah, maybe if we get on Netflix, then Brett Weinstein just opens up his bag of popcorn, you know, and he's looking for something to binge watch. Maybe one night he will realize what the theory of phenotypic revolutions is. Today I will be answering a question that was asked to me many times, but I didn't have quite of an answer. Is Pierre Poilievre our man? Is he the man who will save Canada? Because he just got elected, to the exclusion of Jean Charest, he just got elected the chief of the Conservative Party. That is a big victory, and there are some positive things about him, but my position in the end will be that he cannot save Canada, but we'll get there. PixDSM says, Jeff, have you watched Westworld? Reminded me of TRP. You should watch if you haven't. I don't think I did, but I think I remember you talking about it. What is Westworld? Oh yeah, TV series, 2016. I haven't watched it, but I may very well get to it maybe tonight. At the intersection of the near future and the reimagined past waits a world in which every human appetite can be indulged without consequences. Okay, the whole will make you feel good with technology kind of thing. There's this story, totally moving story, of a woman who, she had a daughter. That's a daughter, not a boy transformed into a girl. It's really her daughter, and you can see her wear a t-shirt that defines what a woman is. I believe it's written something like adult human female. But she's not been like this always. A couple of months ago, this daughter got, who looks feminine today, but she got into the LGBT cult and got influenced by social contagion. And her mother made a tweet that became viral. She said, I didn't affirm my daughter. I removed her from the contagion. Within months, she pulled what I called a cease and desist. Cease, S-E-E-S, in that she has realized that she was headed for the wrong path. She saw the truth and left the cult. Over a year later, it's a year ago. Over a year later, she's thriving more than she ever was when involved in gender craze. And she says, weird, many of you are claiming I abused my child by questioning her trans identity, yet you're also referring to her as she, her, and daughter. It's almost like you don't care about my child as much as I do, or her identity. You're just miserable, pathetic people, stay mad. She has now been banned from Twitter, this lady, and she has been harassed by the crews of leftist, far leftist, and pro-LGBT activists. for basically guiding her daughter toward what her daughter now chooses as her female identity. Unbelievable that this gets you banned from Twitter at this point. I'm almost happy that I'm already banned, because, I mean, at this point, she's not even saying that she was hateful toward her. She said, look, there is another path. You can also choose to be a female. Oh my God, did you allow this choice? We also learn on YouTube that she has been the subject of child services harassment. The leftists called child services and got this mother to be reviewed by child services for abusing her trans daughter. Unbelievable, but I told you guys that we were headed toward this. Invasions of the family, attack on the family, and a system that systematically chooses away from reproduction. As if it wasn't the case that for anyone who thinks they're trans, there are two paths. You can continue thinking that you're trans, get all of these changes to you, or you can take the path of changing your identity and accepting that you're a woman or a man as you were born. The left totally wants to delegitimize the second option, but it should be definitely the default option. And I suspect one option that will be resolving itself across the years without any sort of medical intervention, just perhaps this young girl, you can see that she's young. Perhaps she was influenceable. Perhaps she was guided toward false information and a false perception of what her life would be under that lifestyle. And after she's learned about it, she chose to be a woman. Ty Rogerson sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, JF, I severed my flexor digitorum profundus. It sounds dirty. I guess I'm sure it's a muscle of the hand, but it sounds something else. It sounds like an ass muscle, the way flexor digitorum profundus. The tendon that enables the tip of my left index finger to bend and grip. Decided the 15K plus surgery is too much and I can live with a slightly stupid grip. The cost must be due to the homeless receiving free procedures. Anesthesia cannot be that much. Oh yeah, I mean, the hospital system, if it's not free, like in a socialist country, it comes to ridiculous heights. And, you know, I totally accept your path there. There are lots of things that, if they were to happen to me, I wouldn't pursue heavy medical interventions on them. Yesterday, actually, I was in the bed imagining that my leg would be cut. I don't know why, you know, sometimes I have these weird thought experiments. And I'm like, hey, I could deal with a leg cut. I mean, What will be impossible in my life if I get one leg cut? And then I was thinking, one leg and one arm cut. I was like, yeah, you know, just cut them. I mean, I'm going to be kind of weirdly, I'm going to be hard to locomote. But yeah, I would continue a rather pleasant life, certainly without a leg, maybe without a leg and a arm. And then I thought, well, if I lose two legs and one arm, maybe things would become difficult. Maybe I would feel bad about being a burden to Mama JF. You know, Mama JF would have to carry me from place to place so I can use my single limb. But yeah, I mean, just one leg. I just would ask the doctor, can you just suture it and make sure that I don't die from it, and I'd be okay. Ty Odyssey says it starts on the forearm and goes to the fingertip. Oh, yeah. So basically from here to here. Yeah, I mean, I've felt these things irritated. It sucks. It sucks to have any problem with grip, because it's something you come to be habituated to, and you kind of lose that superpower all of a sudden. It really sucks your situation. But I think just like you, the prices of hospital treatment in general in the US has become unbelievable, unlivable, and we have to reconnect with our past. There were people who were living amputated, losing teeth. They weren't doing reconstructive surgery for everything that was happening. They weren't getting these fake teeth to replace, and then the crown falls, and then you need a bridge, and blah, blah, blah. This is thousands of dollars being thrown away to a body that is basically already a dried leaf, ready to welcome the winter of death. So once you live at peace, once you live at peace with death, you understand that you are basically an outdated, as Padam as me say very often, you are an outdated robot who has already played most of its role in life, and you're just waiting to die. Now, once you understand life like this, any pleasure becomes positive. It's like an extra. Any second that you keep living is an extra. And so, yeah, accept that your grip is imperfect. There are thousands of things you can still do. And you can still certainly, if you have children and see them grow, and even if you were totally unable to do physical stuff, that wouldn't be dramatic. You would still see life pass in front of you, and that's beautiful. Pineapple Platypotamus says the fear of death takes away life. Yes, absolutely. Ariel Suarez says the winter of death, you make it sound so poetic. Yeah, I mean, there's no problem with the leaves, you know, you leave them on the grass in the fall, then they get covered by snow, and then they're food for the grass. It's all good. It's a cycle, and you're fine with it. Well, you are a cycle too, as a living being. Also, in the Child Protective Service rubric, Texas school district brands homeschooling as dangerous to intimidate parents. That is one of the reasons. The fact that these things happen in Texas is one of the reasons I tell right winger, do not found much hope on Texas. Texas is already lost. We just don't know it. Texas looks Republican. Oh my God, they have these Republican government at the state level. Oh my God, they're somewhat okay with weapons rights. And oh my God, they are doing some base stuff on immigration. The fact is that Texas is being taken over by the same corruptive forces that has taken over the rest of the country. Leftization through demographic change. And Texas will end up falling like all the other states, and there won't be a difference with New York eventually. But see, they're already going after the homeschoolers. Some parents, they have to call their district school to say, we're getting our child out of your school. And then they get three phone calls, increasingly intimidating, and eventually on a phone call, they get asked by the person on the phone, they get asked to sign a paper that will confirm that they have been informed about the extreme dangers of homeschooling and that they understand all of the risks. And the parents refused to sign, and they called some higher supervisors, and the higher supervisors said, okay, you don't have to sign. But it's just intimidation, just, oh yeah, we're having them sign this paper, and it's not even legal. It is not a paper that parents have to sign, but you find yourself with executive people, staff people, just deciding that parents have to sign this, and it's totally against the law. So basically, they have now canceled these phone calls because they got bad coverage on the news for it. Silver Spider says, JF, don't forget. Leftization through demographic change allowed by open-minded liberals and Christians. Okay, yes, yeah, since I criticized Christian nationalism, the book, we have to include this in our critique. They are enabled. The leftists are enabled by a bunch of people who are too open-minded, too tolerant of an intolerant ideology, really. It boils down to it. Tolerance in and of itself, if it was in a well-ordered world where, okay, I will tolerate all of the harm that you do to yourself. But we're not in that world. We are in a world where tolerance extends to harm caused back to us. So we're not in a fair discussion here. As I predicted, people were pointing out in the Discord that I predicted this. Exit polls in Sweden show the national populist Swedish Democrats came in second, becoming the largest right-wing party in Sweden. So ECR, apparently. You know, I had said that the coverage, the media coverage that was pointing to them winning the first position was probably exaggerated and that we were probably going to be disappointed. But yeah, I mean, it always ends up like this. And it always ends up that even in a minority government situation, you'll have enough of the normie parties to team up together and form the government, because for them, they hate the right wing so much. They hate the anti-immigration populist option so much that they're willing to do all compromises if it can help them counter the right-wing populist rise. Talking about right-wing populism, the main subject today is Pierre Poilievre. People have been asking me to say my views on him. I didn't know him much, so I read about him today. Is he someone who inspires hope to me? I think he can improve Canada with respect to its current state with Justin Trudeau. I think he improves the Conservative Party, because the Conservative Party 3 years ago was headed by someone who was totally pro-vax. Pro-vax limitations to a certain extent. I mean, he would give lip service to the idea, oh, maybe the current limitations are too high, but he wasn't fundamentally against vax passports and stuff of that kind. So that was a very bad Conservative Party, and that's why the PPC rose. That's why, to me, the PPC has been the only option on the last federal election in Canada, because it was the only anti-vax somewhat. Although they would always say, you know, oh, the vax is good, but we shouldn't force it on people. So we didn't have an anti-vax option for real, so PPC was the closest it got to it. Now, with this guy taking over the Conservative Party, we have a guy who has steadily been against the invasion of privacy and rights that forced vaccination constitutes, that vaccine passports, that business limitations constitute. And this guy has basically three teams. So generally, although he is double vaccinated, so that's a minus on him, but he is strongly against impositions as it relates to the vax or mask or business shutdown. So that's already good, but in a way we're already out of this mostly in Canada, so it's kind of an outdated talking point, but it's important to have someone who's liberty-minded at the head of Canada instead of Justin Trudeau. His second theme is how inflation doesn't make sense and how the cost of life has increased so much and how, unfortunately, a young 20 years old or something starting to work in the Canadian economy right now won't get to the point where he can get a house. And that sucks. So that is very important, is push for the next generation must have what the boomers had, which is if you work relatively well, hard, or if you just work, you should be able to eventually own a land and a house. But under the current increases of cost, inflation of the real estate market, and the general working conditions with generally low salaries, you can't get to it. So that's a very good point of his. And his third axis that he talks about often is economic liberty and getting the government out of people's lives. That is also a very good point. He is a small government libertarian type, although, probably doesn't identify as a libertarian, but he is trying to pull the government toward less intervention, let people live, let people succeed. That is also very good. I align with him on these three points, and those are three strong points to make a campaign on. And I might very well vote for him if strategically in my particular location, if I say, okay, he has a better chance than the PPC winning, I might vote for him. That being said, let us not forget what this man is. He is a creature of the political elite. He has been part of Stephen Harper's government. He was a cabinet minister in there. He's been a member of parliament for a long time, so he's very much joined in Stephen Harper's government, a very not so right wing, just ra more right wing, of course, than the liberals, but a very political elite type of government that was fully answering to Israel's interest. And I've documented myself with the revelations by one audience member. People perhaps will remember this very old The Public Space episode. I've revealed the channels of corruption of Stephen Harper via organizations such as the Friends of Israel. And I've revealed routes of money that were extremely worrying between Israeli interests and members of the government of Stephen Harper, that all passed through a channel of shelling of that money through the airline industry. There was one minister of the Stephen Harper cabinet that was a minister making decision that advantaged certain aspects of the airline industry, and then he was also an ex-CEO or an ex-manager in this business. And was getting rewarded also after his governmental accomplishments. All this to say, Pierre Poilievre is definitely not one of these populists, although he has campaigned somehow by constructing himself an image of populist. And during that campaign for the leadership of the Conservative Party, has been basically criticized as too populist by Jean Charest. Now, Jean Charest is another level of creature of political elite. Jean Charest has been the Prime Minister of Quebec, and it's hard to say, it's hard to express just how much disdain and disrespect I have for Jean Charest. He is truly a man owned by the political Canadian elite, among other people, the people who own media in Quebec. So somehow Jean Charest was presenting this guy as a populist. And this guy probably is surfing here on developing himself a false reputation as a populist, when in fact he's a product of the usual Stephen Harper-led conservative side of political elite in Canada. What does that mean? That means that if he takes control of Canada, if he wins in an election, I'll be happy that Justin Trudeau is gone. I will think that he's probably a better manager of the Canadian economy, but we have to expect him to serve the interests that have elevated him. And the interests that have elevated him are the same that have elevated people like Stephen Harper, pro-Israeli, very mainstream conservative types of interest. So is he on immigration? On immigration, on taxes, all I hear from him is we have to stop. We have to stop increasing taxes. That's his big speech this week. We have to stop increasing taxes. Bro, we are under communism, and perhaps it's time to talk about reducing taxes. How is that How is it that the conservative position in Canada is we have to keep taxes high? We just have to not make them even higher. This is unbelievable that this is the point on which we are arguing in Canada. So on immigration, you know, I have had difficulties finding actually his engagement, but I don't think we're talking about a reconstitution of the Canadian demographic space. At best, he may be a little more hesitant on immigration than Justin Trudeau. That's all I expect from him. And that's all I've come to expect for the from the Conservative Party as a whole. So, in the end, there was still a good moment, because when he accepted the nomination and he did his speech, he came to the microphone with his one-year-old baby and his wife. That was a beautiful moment of heterosexuality in the public eye. Now, it was kind of cringy. He kind of cut a cake because it was the one-year celebration of his child. But it's good to have some counter-signaling to the anti-reproductive agenda. And in that sense, you know, at least we would have an hetero prime minister, I guess. So I'm going to celebrate this. But I do not found hope that there will be a fundamental redirection of Canada. I think he can just slow down the degradation of Canada, and he can at least make it more tolerable for the people living in provinces that haven't been fully cocked yet. Tree Bird says, would you join Gonzalo Lira Roundtable on YouTube if he asked you? Yeah, I mean, Coach Red Pill is always welcome to write to me. I think he knows that. I think he knows that I am his friend, and I would accept any invitation of him. I went to his streams drunk at times, not drunk at other times. It's always a pleasure to be with Gonzalo Lira. However, he has been diverging away from me. You know, Coach Red Pill took his direction as a war journalist, and he's been hanging out with the big boys of YouTube, and he kind of forgot me as a friend. It's really too bad. But yeah, if he was to remember me suddenly and think about writing to me, I would accept his invitation. All right. So yeah, he does speak against the woke, you know.
Is this to the Prime Minister and to his radical woke coalition with the NDP? Here's my commitment. We as Conservatives are always happy to work with any party to collaborate and extend and advance the interests of Canadians. We are. But there will be no compromise on this point. Conservatives will not support any new tax increases, and we will fight tooth and nail to stop the coalition from introducing any.
Wow. We'll keep the taxes high because we're conservative. We won't put them higher because we're conservative. That's the best that a right-winger can hope in Canada. So Kamala comes out of hiding, slams activist Supreme Court. On Meet the Press, Vice President Kamala Harris denounced the conservatives on the Supreme Court as activists due to their decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This has been a Democrat position since Roe v. Wade was reversed, but it's actually an inversion of reality. Roe v. Wade was activism at the judiciary level when it was entered, not when it was removed, not when it was overturned. The activist decision was to create a new right from the judicial bench without a single word about that right in the Constitution. So they've been very successful, the leftists, at presenting the whole, Oh, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, they're all activist justices. And even Clarence Thomas, you know, he's there for revenge against the Democrats. But the fact is, the activist decision was to invent a right to abortion that is not mentioned at all in the Constitution. You would think that if the politicians agreed enough on a right to constitution, if all of the states agreed enough, if it was so obvious, they would have made another amendment and it would say, the right to abort shall not be infringed. Silver Spider says, Brett Kavanaugh, gang rapist, lol. Every time. It's amazing how, despite the fact that I'm very resistant to the left has succeeded. Every time I see Brett Kavanaugh's face, every time I hear his name, I think gang rape. And I know it's not true. I don't think it's true. But somehow they've succeeded at making the association, because you show me a picture of Brett Kavanaugh, I'm imagining Brett Kavanaugh on a rape train, like he has beers in his hand and he's like, I love beer and I love raping women. In a rape train. that's just how young Brett Kavanaugh, that's how I imagine him. I know it's a fiction. From the very beginning, there was never a doubt in my mind that's a fiction. But it's the fiction that's in my head. all I want is Brett Kavanaugh to be happy, you know. But I keep imagining him in this dark room. Just gang raping woman. Is UPS new rule an attack on gun industry? There is a new rule that the carrier UPS, they have updated their policy nationwide. Starting on August 29th, there will be only a couple of gun manufacturers that will be able to use UPS services, and they will have to have a volume that's high enough. And this is hurting, of course, the little gun manufacturers. I think that kind of decision, you know, it does instaur some kind of monopoly. It makes the big guys the only ones who can benefit from their service. And that sucks. That sucks. But yes, it's kind of an attack on free market in the gun industry. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey Jeff, somehow we need to work Brett Kavanaugh into the good people of Rapeland. Ah. I'm thinking of so many jokes in my head. Yes, I think that my next Rapeland argument should definitely feature a certain Brett Kavanaugh, who has been a taxpaying inhabitant of Rapeland since his birth, has always gotten his trash on the scheduled day, has always been keeping good care of his home and has never had problems with the neighbors. Climate policy is a much greater threat than climate change. A global financial crisis is brewing. The easy scapegoat is Putin. The biggest problem is policy. Everywhere you look. Germany's decision to scrap its nuclear reactors before having replacement energy is in play. My God, poor Germany, they made the wrong decision that would have been wrong at any point in time. But it's especially wrong since an economic war is being waged on energy. They have not chosen the right moment to abandon their main source of power. But this is what happens when leftist politicians, they say, all right, by 2035, we won't have this anymore. And it's like, first, you are taking that decision for future politicians, Second, what do you know about what will happen then? You're not going to pay the political price of that decision because you'll be long gone by the time it starts. So you're basically handicapping future generations. Eliza Fletcher, murder suspect, charged with another woman's armed abduction, rape. Cleota Anderson has been charged with another rape and kidnapping, unrelated to the murder of Liza Fletcher. That is too bad. It means that he was already committing these crimes, wasn't caught, and he ended up killing Eliza Fletcher. And all of this on time that he should have been in jail because he was released early. So now two women victims for the same judiciary, I would say error, but it's not even an error. It's for this intentional release of someone who was dangerous. Kamala Harris proclaims border is secure when asked about 2 million illegals crossing. Well, definitely the border is not secure. The states like Texas have to deal with the people that are let in. At this point, they're dumping them in Chicago. Chicago is then dumping them. The city of Chicago is dumping them into more Republican areas. And so these people end up on the country, on whatever, in the country part of Illinois with low populated areas. It's definitely a big security issue. Supreme Court could echo photographers' free speech victory over mandated LGBT wedding support. So that is a case that's very much like the Bake My Cake bigot case. But it's not Bake My Cake, it's take my picture and write that you are pro, some pro-LGBT slogan onto my picture. The photographer was arguing that she is putting all of her heart into her art. She's putting all of her heart into her art. This is very hard to say for me. Very hard. She's basically putting a lot of sweat and tears, and also she's putting her own speech in her photography work. And when an LGBT couple asks her to say, to write something like, "Yeah, we got LGBT wedding, now what?" on the pictures, she feels that it's violating her First Amendment. It's compelling her to speak pro-LGBT, which she doesn't want to do. So it looks like this is already won for her, but it might get to the Supreme Court. She won in the lower court. Yeah, I think she should. I think we should expand this. Why is this just about speech? It's ultimately because liberties in America have been poorly ordered, and we have given the right to free speech, but we haven't given the right to free business. And it should be. It should be just, it's as much an act of speech to be trading copper with an LGBT couple as it is to be trading a picture with something written on it with an LGBT couple. Because it's, commerce is an act of speech. This is a case I will be making on the moral signal. I will be talking about this. When you make a decision, when you make a trade, you are speaking out something. You're saying, "Hey, I respect this person. Hey, I want to exchange with this person." And this already should be protected. We shouldn't compel any business in America. But we do. So people are resorting to this artistic speech argument, because it's the only thing that's protected under our constitution. Barnabé Buteau says her heart goes to her art, which is all about blowing air in people's hairs. just a test phrase to see if JF is tuned right. Well, you see, when I'm reading it, it's much more easy because I have all of the H's at the right position and I know where to put the accent. But when I generate the sentence in my mind, I'm like, heart into the hair. Ukraine's Zelensky takes a swipe at Trump. It's so fascinating how American politics fails to be American. We've had politics based on Middle Eastern concerns for 20 years, and now we have politics based on just how LGBT and pro-porn do we want Ukraine to be. That is the big political subject, and there are so many links between the people who run elections in Ukraine, and you know, we've even had state agents to a certain extent counsel and try to push for certain victories in Ukraine. That's all documented in the Oliver Stone documentary. And now we have Zelensky commenting on Trump, saying he should have had plenty of time to understand who Vladimir Putin is. He should have spoken out against Vladimir Putin. It's so tiring to have this overlap between the countries that America is trying to influence and America itself and American politics. And on top of it, Zelensky should show a little appreciation, because under Trump, Ukraine was not invaded. And it's when Trump was gone that Ukraine was invaded. And it seems that Zelensky cannot appreciate this, because ultimately, Zelensky is not pissed at being invaded. It allows the biggest flow of money that he could dream of ever. He could have taxed 100% of his population and he wouldn't have as much money as he has now. Because now the money flow is from the US to a very poor country. He should show some appreciation to Trump, because Trump, even if he didn't like his words, oh, he said Putin was a genius. Oh my God. Well, Trump kept Putin at bay and kept Putin from invading you. So if you're really against the war, you should be cheering him on. Lendald Guntram says, a recent study of interest on the plague of our times, COVID-19 vaccine boosters for young adults, a risk-benefit assessment, and 5 ethical arguments against mandates at universities. I think I've seen this title pass under my nose. I'll put it in a bookmark and I'll check if... Yeah, I mean, I'd be very surprised if you saved more adults than you're hurting when you're talking about the very young population. Because for the very young population, COVID is so low danger that I'm pretty sure you will hurt more people. Reynard Jackson on why Steve Bannon is one of the most dangerous people in the world. I don't know, you know, this whole heroization of Steve Bannon. I don't know if he's that dangerous to the elite. He's calling on his audience to get involved in the Republican Party and influence it in a populist direction. Okay, but you had power. You've won already. What can be more dangerous than winning? Because there wasn't much result from the Trump presidency other than a slowdown of the degradation of America. So that's the best you can do, because you had power and that's what you've done with it. EU ministers call for 10% cut in energy consumption. A meeting of EU energy ministers on Friday has suggested that each EU country implement strategies to reduce overall electricity consumption by a minimum of 10%. That will be very hard to get people to do this. And we are starting to see some European countries enacting laws and putting some publicity that tells, hey, does your neighbor heat his house more than you? Maybe you should report him to the government. It's going to, they're trying to do a whole COVID again, but on electricity, where they try to transform private agents, private businesses, and individuals into basically part of the police state. Alarm bells sound as world's second largest appliance company reports a plunge in demand. So people are not buying washing machines and refrigerators and stuff. I mean, I think people must have mostly set themselves up and no further refrigerator or washing machine is needed. So that's the accumulation of their inventory. More inventory, less sales. That's the problem. Well, it's a reflection of the birthing economic recession, I guess. Ty Odyssey says, drop your usage, be a Greta Thunberg meter leader today. A meter leader. I'm sure there will be terms like this. Like, I think they had some term like this for the people reporting stuff about COVID. I mean, we had terms. We had Karen and mass Nazis. But I think that the regime had their own positive terms, but I can't quite remember. How would you call someone who was encouraging others to wear a mask ambassador? A COVID ambassador? I think ambassador is a term they really like. Production has fallen off a cliff. Goldman reportedly prepping for layoffs. So again, more signs of the recession, demand plunging, production plunging. Meanwhile, we have a massive healthcare worker strike. 15,000 Minnesota nurses walk off the job. So Minnesota seems to be in problem in terms of work relationship with their nurses. Of course, the nurses are saying, we are not on strike for our wages. We're fighting for the ability to have some say over our profession and the work-life balance. Okay, well, what do I do if a nurse is anti-vax? Because the big problem of hospitals is that they've been stuck in a system of incentives where the government was forcing a certain standard of care. And therefore, that's all that hospitals did throughout the U.S. because it's the only thing for which they would get the government money. Now, we cannot let you have some say over your profession, because if we start having a nurse that goes against the government dictates, I mean, I would want this. I would love if we could go back to a medical profession that is doctor and customer and patient oriented, where basically the patient decides, but we're clearly not there. We are in a financialized system through federal grants, and Trump is to be scolded for this, because of course he wanted to say, oh, we're going to care for every cost. But when you start saying we're going to care for every cost, then your lower level staff impose some conditions, and then you end up having hospitals forced down a certain road of treatment rather than the one that is most efficient for both the doctor, the hospital, and the patient. Russia's collapse in the northeast Ukraine ignites fury from Putin loyalists. Well, that's CNN coverage of it. As far as the counter-offensive goes, I've been following this. I've been looking at the images and reports. So basically what is claimed at this point is that Ukraine has had a successful counter push around the Kharkiv region. But that region had already been mostly abandoned by Putin, and there was continued artillery firing, but there was not much territorial domination. So I'm not sure if this pushback is truly a victory at the strategic level, if it's really a victory on the field, or if it's just that there was less interest for Putin to show physical presence around Kharkiv, and there was much pressure to concentrate efforts around the Donbass. And so Kharkiv was already pushed back, in my view. I had already abandoned it in my mind. Now the Ukrainians, they say that they have reconquered 50 cities. But it seems to me that they have mostly advanced on empty cities and on a Russian army that was already retreating to be sent to DPR. Firestarter says, I think Kharkiv is a loss for Russia. The thing is, Kharkiv has never been dominated by the Russian army. We should keep that in mind. It's not like they've made perimeters around it. They've been shelling it, and they've been shelling cities around it. And what we had also about 1 or 2 days ago was that following the claimed victory by Ukraine, there was a large bombardment of Kharkiv, as if the Russian army was saying, all right, we cannot make artillery fire there anymore, so we're going to send the planes. And they made a total blackout in Kharkiv because they struck a civilian electricity production facility or something like this, maybe an electricity conductance, something related to electricity. So, of course, CNN was, and Zelensky were pushing a narrative where this is a sign of loss. You know, he's just attacking Kharkiv because he realizes he lost it. Maybe it is. Maybe it's also a way to deharmonize the communications on the side of Ukraine, and perhaps it's an intelligent tactical move. So perhaps what we must look for is Putin interested in other targets outside of DPR and LPR, the Donbass, or will he retreat? And was this all to be interpreted as a tactical feint, just like there was a tactical feint on Kiev? Was there a tactical feint on Kharkiv too? I don't know. Perhaps it will be an interpretation going forward. And then another front we must look at is the Kherson front. The Ukrainians have advanced, but not to the point of controlling Kherson. And the question is, will Putin be interested at maintaining Kherson and therefore maintaining the whole southern part of Ukraine, perhaps completing the land bridge to Crimea? Or will he also withdraw from Kherson and perhaps withdraw down to the very eastern regions, DPR and LPR? This is what will be to what we will need to follow. And I don't have particular insight on what's going to happen there or what Putin is thinking. Minors aren't getting gender-affirming surgery except for when they are. Libs of TikTok was pointing to Forbes fact-checking the Libs of TikTok claim. Forbes was saying, but our campaign is based on lies. The fact-checking team at PolitiFact determined Raychick's viral claim was false. While there have been exceptions for some 15, 16, and 17 years old, most surgeons won't operate on anyone younger than 18. And the original claim by Libs of TikTok was, here's the full article. It's from a hit piece they did on the incredible Chloe Cole, who got a double mastectomy at age 15 and detransitioned. So Libs of TikTok says, look, this girl got a mastectomy at 15 years old. And Forbes is saying, Well, it's very rare. Those are exceptions. Most surgeons won't operate on anyone younger than 18. Well, clearly, in the case of Chloe, this is what happened. So this fact-checking practice of strawmanning must be absolutely condemned. Libs of TikTok talked about a real story. It's a real story that raises concerns. It did happen to a 15-year-old. Now, you may say it's rare. Unfortunately, it's getting common. It's getting too common because we already have a couple of cases of people who regret in adulthood to have had these processes made to them in teenage years. So I don't. You can say it's an exception, but even an exception is too common at this point. In any case, the original reporting by Libs of TikTok was correct, and Forbes is fact-checking a strawman. Ariel Suarez says, the fuck? What are they even fact-checking? Yeah, I mean, at this point, fact-checking is a bizarre business, which is why I started this whole encyclopedia, arguably.io. There's not been much edit on it, and I'm not working on it to... it's not a main project for me, but it's a good notepad to have. And I try to take notes every time I see a false fact check, a strawman, a philosophically incorrect argument by the mainstream media. I try to add it to the encyclopedia just to have a notepad that says, all right, this happened, because it disappears so quick these days from the internet. When they do something wrong, they memory hole it, and sometimes it's not even findable eventually. NYC middle school teacher encourages students to engage in political violence. Another release by Project Veritas. Incredible work by Project Veritas, but I mean, at some point we get the idea. There are activists, Antifa leftists everywhere in the system. They have this whole quirky attitude, like, I'm just messing with the system. I'm just wrecking the system from inside. And they have this revolutionary attitude, and it's catchable easily on hidden cameras, because all you need is a sexy journalist with a little bag with a hidden camera. And, oh, I'm very interested in you. Oh. I'd like to be your girlfriend. So what do you say about encouraging kids to commit political violence? I like this idea. What about it? On 9/11 anniversary, faith leaders nationwide offer prayers, comfort, and hope for our country. I was on vacation on September 11. That was yesterday. I took a break. I don't have much to say about September 11, other than there is one important thing we must always remember about September 11. It has been used by warmongers to do what they do, which is warmonger. And it has been used as a pretext to attack nations that didn't have much, if anything, to do with it. That is what 9/11 was. It was used, it was a sad event. There were deaths and all. And I'm not fascinated by the chemistry of steel beams. This subject keeps coming back. How could the steel beam melt? I don't know how they melt. I don't know what's the temperature. I don't really care. But for certain, what can we say for certain about September 11? It was used for one of the most unjust, ridiculous campaign of military interventions in countries that had nothing to do with it. The link, find me a link between Iraq and these planes. Zero link. So that's what I think about. When I think of 9/11, I think we must always remember that there is a bunch of deep state intelligence executive across the institutions of America that will take anything, make kind of lies out of it and shape it in a different way so as to encourage you to engage in war. That is for sure the truth about 9/11. Valet says, they lied and sent me to Kandahar to look for Osama where my friends died. Wow, Valet, are you a female soldier? Because with this name, Valet, I would think that you're a woman. And now you're telling us that you are a soldier. Are you one of these beautiful female Americans sent to in tanks in these desertic countries to do crap? That's really too bad. Ah, she says, they made me protect the heroin fields. Oh my God. Well, hopefully you at least get some kind of retirement, some kind of retirement pay for having done this. I don't know what happens when you're back from... Okay, he's a man. Okay, he is a man. Valet, that sounded like a very feminine name. What happens when you end your war engagement? You come back home? Do you get a pay forever? How does that work? I don't think you get a pay forever, right? So what happens? You have to get a job? I don't know how that works on these veterans. I know that there's laws against discriminating against veterans, so they must want some kind of employment back in the US. He says, when you come back, you go back to work. Wow. So it's just that. It's just you spent a couple of years in the army. Do you get paid in the army to the point where you can buy a house when you come back? Is that enough? If you stay in long enough, you get a pension. Oh, okay. So you have to stay a very long time before you get a pension, I guess. You have to stay until you're old. But are you making like massive amounts of money that would allow you to fully pay a house when you're back home? That's what matters. Trump lawyers oppose DOJ requests to continue to use classified documents seized by FBI during investigation. So there's a continuation of the arguments across the aisle in the Trump raid. Bennett says, you can buy a house in rural areas, perhaps, but not a great salary. Good for a guy with a grade 10 education, though. Okay, so it's an acceptable salary, but nothing out of the ordinary, and perhaps buy a small house. Well, yeah, as you say, I think that it's the option that a lot of people take when they realize they have no particular future in America in the employment sector. They don't have diplomas and that kind of stuff. So they think, okay, I just have to follow orders for 10, 20 years and I'll get what I need. All right. He says, hard to buy a house unless you save up your money and go up in ranks. Okay. Twitter pushes back after Elon Musk files third termination notice for $44 billion acquisition. So it's just Elon Musk filing another reason for. Oh, did I lose the article? Okay, he's filing another reason for which he should be able to stop the agreement. He accuses the company of breaching its obligations. I'm looking for the argument here. The severance payment. So they made a severance payment of $7.75 million to Peter Mudge Zatko. They basically fired him, but apparently at this level you get fired with a check, with a massive payment. And Musk says that this was a violation of the contract because the contract specified not to fire main executives and that kind of people. So perhaps Musk will be gathering enough arguments here to move the judge to say, all right, Twitter has acted differently than they promised they would act. So now it's kind of pulled by the hair to argue that the firing of this guy and the $7.75 million payment to him somehow is irrecoverable, because I don't know. $7.75 million out of $44 billion. It seems like a very, very small amount. It seems like there could be easily a corrective to be given to the contract. But then you can argue that his knowledge was very special and unique, and that by firing him, you have fired a massive asset of the company. U.S. government to broaden chip curbs to China, Reuters say. This is a bad decision to be interfering with the chips market and starting to say, all right, there are restrictions imposed on NVIDIA and AMD already. There will be restrictions to relationships with Chinese companies. I get that the whole idea is not to allow the Chinese to insert some kind of secret takeover part of the chip. But allowing other nations to do it is just as bad. Is there a particular sign that China is that China is more likely to do that? I don't know. I don't like the idea of restricting this market, because you're going to end up getting fucked by some other country eventually. Uncrewed Blue Origin launch suffers mid-flight anomaly. This will be our last news item before we close the show. I mean, look at this.
The sphere gets thinner.
Now, thankfully, there are no humans in this Blue Origin. Apparently, it was a shipment or cargo launch that they call. So I don't know what they were trying to ship. Thankfully, it wasn't humans.
On the left shows the
What you'll see being deployed is an emergency system that disconnects the extremity of the penis from the penis itself. Now, this humans don't have this on the human penis, but Jeff Bezos has it, because it's Jeff Bezos. He's rich enough to care independently for the tip of his penis with respect to the base. So see, it all happened there. Let's try to rewind here. You'll see this catches fire, and as an emergency protective mechanism, this thing pops up. Look at it. It's advancing like a random Pac-Man. Just.
And we have seen an abort of New Shepard. It has emergency separated from the booster. New Shepard 4, 1 minute 30 seconds now into flight, awaiting updates from Blue Origin. The capsule has jettisoned itself using its emergency separation SRB in the capsule. First time we have seen this used during an operational mission. You can see
now. You can see the altitude starts to go down. So somehow they're like, okay, we're bringing it back down, and they're going to be able to land with this. It's an emergency system to protect the inhabitants, or the cargo in this case, from a malfunction. So it looks like we are faced with a problem here. Thankfully, I mean, it looks like the capsule made it back. So if there were humans, perhaps they would have survived. That's amazing. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.